Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
As Jesus and his disciples went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This morning I want to do something I have never done before. I want to preach two sermons on the same text. Now, before you become distressed, I should say that the first sermon is in the form of a short poem that I wrote many years ago. The second sermon is more traditional in form and of a normal length. This is the poem. It is called "The Lesser Part." Martha, weep not mid your pots and pans. Your sister's gently wise, gentle, shrew. He compliments her, but he loves you too. Perhaps if you had had the time to spend, you might have sat and listened hours on end. But no, you must be always up and doing before cockcrow, before the morning breaks. With her, he can be certain of a listener. With you, he'll get his breakfast when he wakes. When he arrived, she saw his radiant eyes and drank deep of the life with which they glowed. You looked and saw how very thin he'd gotten from many hours wandering on the road. Martha, your sister chose the better part. "That's because she got the better start," you mumble, as they talk of some poor sinner, and turning on your heels, tearful, in defiance, shout, so that the words come sailing out, "Oh, for Christ's sake, somebody must get dinner." I have always felt that Martha got short shrift in the Gospels. This was my effort at correcting that. Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her. Some years ago, I wanted to learn to play tennis, so I attended a tennis clinic where we practiced footwork, grips, positions on the court, and so on. I learned that all these things were important, but in the end, they were worthless unless you attended to the most important thing, keeping your eye on the ball. Worrying about stance or grip, I often missed it, and after all, the object is to hit the ball. Tennis is not simple, and neither is life. But the principles that govern both are simple. Master them, and everything else will sooner or later fall into place. That is the message of this morning's gospel. Martha was worrying about her footwork and position and hitting nothing. while Mary kept her eye on the ball. Following hard on the parable of the Good Samaritan, Luke seems to be concerned to establish a balance. In the former, the priest and the Levite are exposed for failing to see the relationship between worship and service. In this story, Martha is exposed for failing to see the relationship between service and worship. It is characteristic of our time that we think we understand the point of the story of the Samaritan, while this tale evokes less sympathy. After all, Jesus has come to the house around dinner time, and Martha, naturally enough, starts to prepare the meal. Apparently, Martha plans a number of dishes or courses since she is distracted by her many tasks. She evidently took on more than she could do alone, expecting Mary to help. Mary, meanwhile, has instead sat down to listen to Jesus. While it might seem polite to entertain their guest, if Martha needed her in the kitchen, you'd think she'd go. After all, dinner is dinner, and conversation is only conversation. You'd think Mary could have helped Martha at least start dinner while Jesus freshened up or looked at the garden. But no, she plops down, wide-eyed, and listens while Martha is left to do everything. Finally, rushing here and there, it becomes too much. Certainly, Martha's grievance against her sister is a just one. But worse, Jesus, rattling on, seems to encourage her idleness when there is so much to do. "Lord," Martha complains, "don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself?" And what does Jesus reply? Essentially, he says, "No, Martha, I don't care. If you were smart, you'd have served a simpler meal and sat and listened too. For I have come not to be served, but to serve, to offer you the bread of life." We live in a world where there is much to do, and the responsible people are out trying to do it. This is not a story to be quoted against them. It is a story that reminds us that some of those people know what they are about, and some do not. Some will become burned out, embittered, or disillusioned before the day is half spent, while some will labor faithfully well into the evening of their lives and keep their confidence and good humor until the end. The first will be the Marthas of the world, distracted by their many tasks. The latter will be the Marys who sat and listened and then went out to work. Some years ago, I read about a vast housing project in a Midwestern city built at the cost of millions of dollars. Pruitt-Igoe, it was called, you may have heard of it. The government agency that built it asked the Federal Housing Authority for permission to tear it down shortly after it was occupied. It had quickly become one vast, unmanageable slum, ruined by the contempt and fury of those put there for those who put them there. The people who built that project called it, to begin with, the look of the future in public housing. They ran around a lot, ostensibly serving, but they failed to listen or to consider any will but their own. At no time more than now have we rushed here and there, serving, and at no time more than now have we needed Mary's willingness to listen. If we would serve, we must first listen to those whose good we claim to have at heart. Otherwise, our service may be as fruitless as those who built Pruitt-Igoe, or as unappreciated as Martha's, and we will never understand why. But if to serve others we need to listen to them, how much more if we seek to serve God must we listen to God? Mary was not merely being polite when she sat at Jesus' feet, nor was she being lazy. He was no ordinary guest. He had the words of eternal life. He could say what it was all about. She would have been a fool to pass up such an opportunity, and so would we. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Animals live by food. People live by meaning. Nothing people do is like other animals. Animals eat, people dine. Animals frolic, people play. Animals mate, people make love. What is the difference? Meaning. Everything people do has a meaning, and they know it even if they don't always know what that meaning is. That is what makes human life so rich and so difficult. Nothing just happens. It means something. The great question of life is, what? What does it mean? People need to find meaning in life more than they need life itself. When Martin Luther King Jr. said, if a man has nothing he is willing to die for, he has nothing to live for. That is what he meant. The Vietnam War finally came to an end because Americans found no meaning in dying in Southeast Asia. The Second World War ended victoriously, however, because people were willing to die to halt evil in its tracks. It was a purpose that gave meaning to life and death. Where there is no purpose, we can do neither well. Like the roustabouts in the song Old Man River, we become tired of living and feared of dying. Martha was not wrong to rise to fix dinner, but a simpler meal would have done. Instead, she had laid on a big spread. She took on more than she could handle, and her service was ineffective. She hurried. She was irritable and anxious, more concerned about doing than about why she was doing. She attacked everyone who would not help instead of considering that she might have been more concerned for her reputation as a hostess than for the needs of her guest. Martha brought it all upon herself, not because she was not good, but because she was not smart. To do God's will, you must be both. You must wish to serve, and you must know what you are doing. Concentrating on the bread, she lost the word of life. So she cries out, Lord, don't you care? And the Lord replies, I care, but you have missed the point, and all your labor will come to nothing until you get it. The psalmist said, except the Lord builds the house, their labor is but lost. Who built it? It is very important to do things, but it is also important to know why. Mary sat and listened, but who has time to sit and listen now? There are some who go to church and pray and claim to listen, and it ends there. The parable of the Good Samaritan is addressed to them. They are the lawyer, the Levite, and the priest. But there are others more who say church is for children to learn how to behave, or for the very old who must prepare to die. We have no time to sit on Sunday morning and listen to some reading from an ancient book or to the opinions of another man or woman or to sing hymns. There are more important things to do, perhaps, but there are not more important things to listen to. For where else do men and women come together to grapple with the meaning of their lives? Where else do you speak openly of the terrors that keep you awake at night, or the yawning pit you look into when a child dies, or one you love leaves, or you lose your job, or life caves in? Where else do men and women struggle with what is worth doing and why? There may be more important things to do, but how do you know unless you listen and reflect? Each Sunday, we gather to enact a pageant of the offering of God in his teaching and in the life and death and rising again of Jesus Christ. A pageant that is intended to instruct, to empower, and to serve as a pattern of our life in the world. It tells us the nature of the world, of God, and of what our purpose is. If we listen, it will tell us much. This is where we examine our lives and our faith so that we will know what we are about. We should be a part of that listening and learning, as we should be a part of the church's outreach and service. The Bishop of Bradford once observed, there are two words used a great deal by our Lord in the gospel. One is come, and the other is go. It is no use coming unless you go, and it is no use going unless you also come. We must come to God in prayer, in worship, in Bible study, and go out to work in our vocation, service, politics, and recreation to bring all things under his will. We come to listen, to wait upon God, to know what to do and how to do it and why. We go to accomplish his purposes in the world. Both coming and going accomplish his will. In both listening and service, we are made more like him. Life is an oscillation, like the heartbeat, systolic and diastolic, pump and relax, go and come. The well must be filled with water, the energy replenished in order to labor. The spirit must be fed that the hand and the head may work. There is much to be done. As you take up your task, set up for yourself the pattern of listening and service, so that regularly you can pause in your labor to hear what he says about life, its promises and pitfalls. Then go into the fray with strength and a clear head to see it through. It was because the Samaritan listened before that he could effectively serve, and because Martha had not listened that she was distracted. It is not a matter of either or, but of both and. To serve well, you must know who you are and what life is about. You have to keep your eye on the ball. For that, you need the word of life. That is the one thing needful. The blind poet Milton got the point in the sonnet on his blindness. He thought on God and declared, "Thousands at his bidding post o'er land and ocean without rest. They also serve who only stand and wait, for they listen before they go."